That's what happens when you lower the bar.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Mortgage Bankers Association says mortgage applications, they're at their highest level since late May. Analyst Bill Stone at PNC Wealth Management says it's all about low rates.
Mortgage rates got down, 30-year fixed down towards the 5% mark, which definitely set off a ton of refinancings. But we also had a nice spike in the amount of purchase mortgages. So, you know, I think it's just more good news on just the stabilization of the housing market and frankly, the start of the recovery in that area.
In other news, the Senate is expected to vote yes today on a new measure to attract tourism. Our country has gotten less welcoming to visitors since the terrorist attacks 8 years ago. We do all these border checks now and passenger screenings. Marketplace's John Dimsdale says the new initiative would try to win people back.
The bill sets up a nonprofit corporation to coordinate all the country's private sector tourism promotion programs. It would raise as much as $100 million a year by collecting a $10 fee from many foreign visitors. Then the private industry will have to match the government funds before they can be spent. The industry predicts the extra effort could attract another 1.5 million tourists from overseas. Some critics complain this is another government intrusion into the private sector. But Jeff Freeman of the U.S. Travel Association says government border screenings set up after 9/11 have discouraged visitors.
All the private sector is saying here is that at the very least, the government should be our partner in limiting the negative impact of those barriers. Around the world right now, people question whether or not they're welcome in the United States. The government must be a partner with the private sector in sending that welcoming message.
Freeman says the average foreign tourist brings in over $4,000 into the U.S. economy, and it looks like there is enough support in the Senate, which is likely to send the bill on to the House sometime today. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are up about 0.5%. The Dow is ahead only 20 points. It's at 9,518. European stocks are up 1%, and Asian markets dropped about that much. When OPEC meets today, it's expected to leave oil production where it is. The Saudi oil minister said the current price is good for everybody. Reporter Ashley Milne-Tite wondered, with gasoline near $3 a gallon here, is $71-plus a barrel really good for everyone?
Not necessarily. Stephen Lieb is chief economist at Lieb Capital Management.
I would rephrase it and say the current price is bad for everybody, but a different price would probably be even worse.
Lieb says today's gas prices may be lower than last summer's, but they're still relatively high, especially in a down economy. But he says if oil producers were to increase production, causing the price of oil to fall,
that would be good temporarily for U.S. consumers. But longer term, it would be terrible, because longer term, it would mean very, very little, if any, additional oil will come on stream.
He says that's because when oil commands less than $70 a barrel, oil producers usually won't invest in drilling and exploration. That would lead to an oil shortage in years to come. Others say higher prices would be better for the environment because they'd spur the development of alternative energy sources. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, sponsoring the retirement planning documentary Retirement Revolution, September 15th on PBS. Local listings at PBS.org.
The new NFL season starts tomorrow, and the money will be flying. TV networks pay the league more than $3 billion a year for the rights to air those games. But reporter Adam Allington says the number of people who watch football has been dropping, and the money may not last.
If you tick through a list of televised football firsts, CBS was often the network behind them. Whether it was the first color broadcast, instant replay, or the Telestrator, that crazy TV pen John Madden used to illustrate his signature booms and blocks for so many years.
They know that any time that Montana's going to run, it's going to be out here to the right. So they're going to bring him right here to get in Montana's face.
Together with play-by-play announcer Pat Summerall, Madden worked for CBS during the 80s and 90s, when football's popularity on TV knew no bounds. CBS found out just how valuable the NFL was after they lost it to Fox for 3 years in the 1990s.
Typically speaking, sports properties tend to be loss leaders, but they help cross-promote the heck out of other programming.
Patrick Riche is an associate professor of economics at Webster University in St. Louis. He says oftentimes networks actually lose money on the games themselves, but make it back in the form of higher ad sales on other shows.
So the real question is, do we think the sports property is going to generate enough revenue in ad sales from all of our other programming, whose ratings will hopefully be higher because we're cross-promoting using sports as a platform to do that?
But television ratings for NFL games have been slipping over the past decade. And because of league rules, any game that's not sold out within 72 hours of kickoff can't be broadcast locally. Early estimates say as many as 12 teams may face blackouts during the upcoming season. But CBS Sports President Sean McManus told reporters earlier this month that he doesn't expect the blackouts to create too much pushback from advertisers.
I don't like it when I get an email on Thursday morning saying here are the stadiums that aren't sold out. But we've lived with them in the past, and hopefully when the economy gets better, we'll go back to as many sellouts as we used to have.
Blackouts aside, football is still the most popular sport in the U.S. with some of the highest ratings. And this season, the QB comebacks of Michael Vick and Brett Favre might add just the right amount of drama to keep fans tuning in. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, I'm sure all the artists who entered a New Zealand competition were hoping they would win the $15,000 prize. The artist who did win was the one who collected the discarded scraps from the other entries. He made a pile out of his competitor's trash, titled the piece Collateral, and won the contest. The losing artists called the judge's decision an insult, but the museum director notes it has gotten people talking about the competition. We're doing it right now. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 21 points at 9,518. Thanks for tuning in and have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.